RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Red Boys and Girls. It's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains here in the east of Slovakia in Pop Red. Lee Banks up north, he has a passport in the UK. And Lee Banks, who's wandering around in poo in Gay Paris.
Lee Banks is wandering around in poo in Gay Paris.
Start again.
Rewind. Well, you do it. Where was I? I've lost the plot.
You're talking about... Mark in Gay Paris.
It's the love rat in Gay Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the ex Daily Sport journo person.
This is Postcard from Pop Red, allegedly a sideways look at the news. Do we do this one? Yeah, I suppose we better then, didn't we?
What are we doing?
Apparently, the Germans in World War II had a plan. And the plan was... if they lost the Second World War, the Nazis' plans for their resistance, of which I have to say...
The werewolf.
I have to say, with the greatest of respect and no comedy at all, I now live in an area where there was a suitably well-organised resistance. And I regularly go up to... the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at the top of the mountains, and it's an amazing place to go to. Have you come
I've been there with you, actually, and
it's
I agree.
Incredibly yeah. quiet and no birdie noises, and you walk 10 metres down the track and there's animals, you know, the whole shooting match, but just there it's silent. It's really weird. And we thank those people immensely. But anyway, apparently the Nazis had a plan if they lost the Second World War, which included a plot... Which
they did lose, by the way.
Well, they did lose.
Yeah, they did, actually. Yeah. Right. We better point that out, Eric. Yes. I think that must have passed you by.
Well, no, because we got up to 3-1, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah.
That was in 1966.
That's right.
That was Jersey. Yeah, right, sorry, go on.
Sorry, Germany. And so the plan was
we're really
to...
We're about this story, Germany, but you did it.
Yes. Exploding sausages were planned to give to English people. Poisoned chocolate and poisoned a brand of well-known coffee were detailed in some secret documents that have just been revealed. Shall we carry on or leave it?
I think it's quite interesting that the Fourth Reich had come up with an organisation they called the Werewolf, which was...
Yeah, and I suppose the other interesting thing is that they've come up with exploding sausages.
To actually explode them.
It's really funny.
Well, no, because, you see, this is what I don't understand. They're saying it was a plot with exploding sausages. Yeah. Every day when I make sausages, I get told off for my exploding sausages.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I think that's after you've eaten them, isn't it?
That's what I was going to say. They could feed them to dogs, let the dog go in the house, and it could cause mayhem, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Anyway, let's move along. Got to say hi to Teresa, who's in Poland, who says, I've got a nice voice. I like you, Teresa. You're nice.
She didn't mean you. She meant Teresa. She said, I've got a nice voice. Yes. You just assumed she meant you.
Right. We'll ask her later.
Teresa who?
That's her answer.
I don't remember.
Trees are green.
No. A new book by Ferrari documenting the company's history is being sold for £155,000.
Because it's one of the most iconoclastic cars in the world today. And that book on it is worth that.
Do you know iconoclastic means that you're destroying the icons, not actually creating them and holding them up?
Thank you.
Sorry at all that.
I've got to look that up.
Lee's a journalist.
I'm going to look that up.
Lee's a journalist. Apparently, this makes the Ferrari book the most expensive book in the world. And do I care? No. And what do I think?
I'm not joining in. I'm looking up an icon. How do you spell it?
IT.
It's about the destruction of icons. Actually, the Catholic Church used to be very good at that kind of thing.
While Lee's looking that up, we'll carry on. There's a lot of gossip around Glenn Hoddle, who came to see us recently over here. And there's a picture of me and Glenn on the Facebook page.
You're quite right. Destroyer of religious images. Somebody challenging tradition. Somebody who challenges or overturns traditional...
Journalist got it wrong.
Oh, hang my head in shame.
Sorry, Lee.
No, don't apologise. Apologise.
I feel so unkind.
Mark, this is just for you. round of sandwiches. Anyway, looks like Glenn Hoddle's... a lot of people would like him to be the...
the new Wayne Rooney.
The new manager of England. Let's move along to some banking stuff. I've got to tell you this story. Right, are you ready, Mark?
Well, I've heard something about this story, and I have to say I'm so disgusted. Please continue, because I won't be able to hold my rage while I recount.
Well, when I get the other bit, you'll be absolutely amazed. So I go into the bank with this piece of paper, and it says, Eric should have this money. So when I get there, I've been arguing with the bloke about the money. Yep, gone, done, sorted, everything else. Eventually, I go to the branch, because I've already spoken once before to the press office, who said, in not a Wayne Rooney style, but basically, sod off. That was the VUB Bank in Bratislava.
What does VUB stand for?
I can't remember.
Okay. It means sod off, actually.
Well, yeah, and if you're if you're listening to this, Johnny Locke, yes, it was your bank, and they're pathetic. Then I goes down there, and this woman says, I don't know, I can't look it up here. This is modern banking, right? So she can't look up a transfer and has to phone Bratislava for them to look it up for her.
Yeah.
Right, my account is in the branch. I'm in the branch account.
Yeah.
She can't look it up. She then comes back and says, there's a number wrong at the end.
How did she know if she couldn't look it up?
Exactly. She must have spoken to somebody. So I said, well, that's funny, because that's the same number as we used last time, and it worked. Admittedly, it did take about 3 weeks to get it through, but it worked. And she said, well, I'm very sorry about it. It's the wrong number, and we've charged you. Excuse me? Hello? Good morning? I didn't send it. You're paying. Am I? Well, sod. Mark, I smiled absolutely beautifully in my bestest Slovak in the VUB Bank in Poprad. I said to this woman, thank you very much. Jakujem velmi pekni. And I smiled as I walked out the door, and we carried on walking, and we went to the Tatra Bank, which doesn't sound like it's a big international bank, does it?
Well, it doesn't, because I know where it is, and it looks like a little corner shop bank, doesn't it?
It does, really, doesn't it? Mm. But it just happens to partner with Lloyds.
Oh, right.
So I says to says to Lenka, bearing in mind I'm a bit angry by now, I said, can I have a bank account? And have I got to go through all the rigmarole that I had to go in the other bank to get one in the first place? She said, no, of course not, sir. What would you like? Excuse me? With a big smile as well. She said, oh, yes, we can do all that for you. I said, oh, bugger, I haven't brought any money with me because I'm so furious when I walked out the other bank. She said, that's not a problem, sir. Don't worry about it. We can set it all up and then we'll do it on Friday. Right. I'm confused now, Mark. You can understand my confusion, can't you?
I'd be very confused, I have to say, especially it's got something to do with Lloyds.
Well, yeah. So I carry on, and today I duly email my friend Lenka at the Tatra Bank, who in seconds emails me back and said, will 12 o'clock be all right, Eric? I says, yes, please, Lenka, I says, Lenka of Tatra Bank. And I poddles down there, and she's got all the things ready for me, my card, my internet wireless thingy, put your card in the machiney thing that goes in your pocket, and you can internet bank from everywhere. The whole thing is done. Well, would you like an SMS on this? It's free. You don't have to worry about charges. Pardon me? I'm now a quivering idiot. I've got a bank saying nice things and offering me things for nothing. I can't go. And helping me as well with a smile.
Amazing. I tell you, if Lloyds find out, they're going to sack her.
I'm breathing deep. I can't cope with the breathing. And that's
Eric, I'll give you the kiss of life if you...
No, there are limits to all of this. I'll calm down. So that is my banking story of this week. So to the VUB Bank in Poprad, I've swapped to the very nice Tatra Bank, and thank you very much indeed, Lenka, for a bit of old-fashioned customer service.
I
never thought I'd say that about banks.
I never thought anybody would say that about banks. But
I'll tell you what, it takes me back to... when I was 16 years old, and I opened my first bank account, and I sat in the manager's office in Shefford, in Bedfordshire, and he was, hello, Mr. Wiltshire, how are you? Good on your job, blah, 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 blah. Here's your checkbook, da, 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 your temporary checkbook first, you can write on it. And it was just like that. It was astounding.
Well, that's it. Today, you don't even have bank managers. I remember the days, even, 10 years ago, where if you went into a bank, you could talk to a bank manager who actually had some authority and wasn't just a glorified salesman.
No. Yeah. Well, Lenka's my account manager, but she did say, get this from a bank.
Yeah.
I'd rather you don't phone, but if you can email, because I get a lot of phone calls and I can handle emails quickly, I'll always email you straight back. What? Yes,
well,
please.
That's real good.
Yes, please. Hello. Yeah. And I genuinely, Mark, I got an email back from the bank like that. Unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very, very nice experience, isn't it? And if only it could always be like that. Really, how unusual.
Well, I think you know what we should do, don't you?
What?
Do you know what we should do, Mark? Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark.
I give up. I'm racking my brains. I've really no idea.
I think we've got an business opportunity here.
Yeah. To we should open a bank in...
What we should do is take all the numpty banking people in the UK and around the rest of Europe and bring them to PopRed so they can be taught how to do some customer service by Lenka at Tatra Bank.
Well, you're probably right. I have to say, though, that I actually did open a new account fairly recently, and it was with the Metro Bank. And it was really more of a trial of anything. And I have to say that the Metro Bank was, broadly speaking, the way that you've just described. And so maybe really what it's about is small is beautiful and small they can handle it.
Yeah.
And they get maybe just so big that they're over-trading, under-investing. And I think it's irresponsible. But maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, hats off and congratulations to Tatra Bank. Thank you very much indeed, Lenka. Talking of banks, bank worker was fired.
Well, this is the one I thought you were talking about earlier, and I have to say that it really, I think it's really, really disgusting.
Right, a bank worker got the sack after she criticised her boss's hourly salary on Facebook. Stephanie Bond was fired from the Lloyds Banking Group. Now, I have to say, and I'm not going to say who it was, but you can all work it out for yourself. Many, many, many years ago in the early 90s, there used to be a service on the internet called CompuServe. And it was kind of an embryonic combination of email and Facebook, but really, really, and you had these little groups that you could join. And there was a broadcasters group, and I was a broadcaster, so I was in there, and I was chatting, right, I was chatting to a guy who's quite a well-known face on the BBC again now. For a while, he disappeared off, because he used to slag his boss off, and I said to him, John, I wouldn't advise you to do that. And I sent it as an email, not in the group. He replies in the group, they can't touch me. There's copyright on all this stuff in here. And it says about privacy. A week later, he wasn't on the telly anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think that's despicable because...
Why?
Because, like, in this case, in the case of this girl who... what was she on? She was on £7 an hour, and she commented, she made a fair comment about the fact that her CEO was getting £4,000 an hour. Compare it, £7 an hour, £4,000 an hour. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that she was derelict in her work. It doesn't mean that she was talking about something which actually is quite important. That if people like him, who are amongst the people who allegedly brought this world to its knees, it's worth saying. He's earning £4,000 an hour, and yet she's the one at the bottom of the food chain, doing all the basic work and making everything work, and she gets £7 an hour because she just said it.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. But it's more than that. I mean, a man who is really worth £4,000 an hour, you'd expect him to be a bit bigger than this. And quite frankly, this is a kind of sort of small-minded, nasty vindictiveness that actually one gets used to with the normal sort of big British banks. This man was leading Santander, who've got a pretty poor reputation, and now they've brought him in to deal with Lloyds. And quite frankly, not only is there a lack of competition, but not only is there a lack of competition between the banks, but the fact that their staff and their CEOs seem to just simply to move around in this tiny circle between them. When is anything ever going to change? I just don't see it, quite frankly.
Well,
this is a disgraceful piece of bullying, this man.
Well, hang on. This Stephanie is a HR...
Yeah.
Human resources assistant for the bank.
Well, really, you should get rid of them anyway, so it's not really a bank.
But she should know what her contract says, and I'll bet you there's a clause in the HR-approved contract that says you're not supposed to do this.
I think you're right. I think that quite feasibly is what they've got rid of her on. But like Mark says...
I'm not disagreeing with Mark, but I'm just saying she should know better, especially if she's an HR assistant. And there will be a clause in there. It's like in the contract we have for Postcard from Poprad, everybody. We can't say in public, Lee Banks has got a little willy. So that's why we don't do it.
I can tell you,
it's getting bigger as I go older.
They normally get limper as they get older. But I mean, the Consumer Action Group is well used to this kind of vindictive behaviour. And I can tell you that in the early days of the Consumer Action Group, when we were winning millions of pounds in bank charges from various banks, there was a now nationalised Scottish bank, which I understand set up a special unit simply to find members of its staff who were involved in the Consumer Action Group, and they were after them.
Blimey. That's scary, isn't it?
It is scary.
Yeah,
scary.
I know.
It's a beast of power.
Well, I do agree exactly what you said, Mark, but I also think the young lady should have had a little bit more savvy.
She shouldn't have lost the job for it.
No. Anyway, bus ads are campaigning for Islamophobia. Really?
Yeah, I think it's really bizarre, this.
Yeah, apparently there's a campaign on buses, which I haven't seen, apart from when I looked at the back of a bus, Lee's face. Thank you.
I'm glad you don't laugh at his jokes, Mark.
Thank you. apparently, several cities' buses will carry the message, Muslims for loyalty, peace and freedom.
And what's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but why do you have to do it?
Hope it doesn't backfire, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's why have you got to do it? And why, in fact, quite genuinely, I'm asking this a straightforward question. Yeah. Why, in fact, aren't we taking space on buses in their countries, saying how wonderful the English are as well? Why don't we do a PR exercise?
No, hang on.
Seriously, what a good idea.
No, because there's not a community.
No, a PR exercise.
No, only where there's a community of Christian people in a Muslim country.
Fine. Yeah. But why not make it bigger anyway? Why not make it wider? Why don't we just tell the world, as one of the world's leading nations, supposedly, although we're patently not, that the whole of the world, whether you're Muslim, Christian, black, white, yellow, green, female, male, we're all wonderful.
Thank you from Benetton.
Yeah. that previous message was brought to you by the British Tourist Board. Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's the only trouble. I quite agree with Mark. I hope it doesn't backfire.
Yes.
Because that could be the only really nasty thing.
Well, yeah, quite feasibly it could. But it's in principle, it's a good thing.
France has got it wrong as usual. Google and Facebook are among a group of really big companies taking the French government to court this week. Basically because they don't understand how the internet works. The legal challenge, which we'll let Mark talk about, has been brought by the French Association of Internet Community Services. Why they have to have a longer name in France, I don't know. They're ISPs. It's just a club. And it's all to do with keeping personal data for a year. What's going on, Mark?
Well, my understanding is that the French are trying to impose requirements on, I suppose, any data processors, anybody who's holding data in France, to keep the data for at least a year. But I think worse than that, in addition to that, there's also a requirement that they make it available to the French government on demand. And this doesn't only mean the data and identities and so forth of email accounts, but also passwords. I think this is quite controversial stuff, I have to say.
I do, yeah.
Mark, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Would you invite me to your house for a weekend? Just say yes, just for the fun of it. I'm not coming.
I wouldn't say yes to the fun of it. I'd say yes, definitely. You're
right, okay. Welcome. So I'm now in Mark's house, boys and girls. And
Mark is setting you up.
And I decide... Yes. No, I'm not actually, just for a change. I decide to go on the internet and go, oh, Jesus, Mark, I've forgotten to put a video up for the company onto Daily Motion. Can I do it? Mark says, of course, Eric. Help yourself to my internet. I won't charge you a penny.
That's a very good impersonation of you, Mark.
I thought it was me.
So I then log on to Mark's internet. With my log on, I don't happen to be French or live in France. I'm English Slovak and I live in Slovakia. What the bloody hell has it got to do? Pardon my French.
There's a lot of swearing going on, and it's nothing to do with France.
What the heck has it got to do with the French Association or the French government? As long as I'm not doing anything illegal, you can't have my password. Sod off.
Well, I think, from that point of view, if you do come into, sort of French legal jurisdiction, then you accept their protection and also you accept the responsibilities. So from that point of view, I'm not sure that that's a runner there. But I have to say that, this wish to be able to have this very, very easy access to data, mm-hmm. I think is a worrying thing. And I think, I think it's especially worrying for governments like the French government, which amongst European governments is really quite Sovietic. Mm. I would feel very worried about that kind of thing, really. Mm.
I can't see how they can legislate over a company like Daily Motion that are not in France.
Well, I think one of the interesting things, of course, is that they are part of a European regime of data protection. Mm. And in a way, this kind of requirements flies in the face of the European rules of data protection. So I'm not entirely certain how they think that, that they can manage this. But
they can't. I mean, I do understand when they find Google, because Google were collecting, collecting data during the Street View thing, where they were getting stuff from Mark's Wi-Fi or whatever. And quite rightly, that was in French jurisdiction, and therefore the French watchdog fined Google £87,000, which is the largest fine they've ever handed out. And I agree with that, because they were in France, doing something in France, working in France, da-da-da-da-da, the whole thing was French. But I can't see how they can put controls over Daily Motion or eBay, for example, which was originally an English company, but it's not anymore. I can't see how they can legislate like that.
I agree, but can't you look at it in a different way? At it this way. Right, France in this case is like a parish council.
Okay.
Right? We're like a parish council. All these countries action.
Parish council?
Yeah, we are in a way, yeah. Right. Because we have an opinion on the internet, and France has an opinion, England, all countries like China, all the different attitudes. And the thing is, what everybody seems to not be catching on to is that the internet is an international, global thing, and we need global and international laws to control it.
Mm. Mark, final
and it's
word.
It's pointless.
Well, I just missed the point. I've become slightly distracted for a moment.
You were watching the Sunday Sport, weren't you?
You were saying that we were getting boring.
Yeah.
Not at all. I'm just trying to sort of think how it all sort of pans out. I mean, it's a huge thing, but I mean, of course, I think the French government really has got a bit of a reputation of doing what they want. I think that's
not every
government. Well, yeah, that's true. Anyway, moving along, he says, I love this story. An elderly woman, an old age pensioner in Georgia, is actually facing a prison sentence after causing Armenia to be cut off the internet.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. Bleeping here. I was distracted for a second. And the reason...
I'm going to get distracted. I'm the only one who wants to
pay attention to this.
And the young lady in question faced up to 3 years in prison as she was scavenging for copper cable, the 75-year-old. And so she was nicking this stuff, damaging fibre optics at the same time, and effectively Armenia was cut off of the internet because it actually hooks up via Georgia. And it just makes you wonder, really, how did a 75-year-old woman manage to dig far enough down to damage cables while she was scavenging for copper? It makes you ponder how the technology's working out there.
Do you think they didn't bury it deep enough?
I think you could be right, Lee.
And you know what? She could be facing 3 years in jail for this.
Yes.
And if they didn't bury it deep enough, we've actually just solved her court case for her. Well, should we write to her and say, listen, duck, just plead this. It wasn't your fault. They forgot to bury it deep.
But what kind of cable are they using?
She was looking for copper cable and damaged the fibre optic cable.
Yeah, but aren't they sort of sleeved in lead or some protective,
they are what is a protected cable. But I suspect what was happening, she thought that was a copper cable. She's ripped it out the ground. Yeah. And, hey presto, Armenia's cut off the internet. Admittedly, they were back on about sort of several hours later.
Where's Armenia?
Next door to Georgia.
Ooh. Right.
Georgia's on my mind. I'll get there first.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah. One quick one. We'll do one longer one. A report's come out saying that shopping prolongs your life.
Well, it does. Don't just go in the shop with your missus and see how long it takes.
It feels like a lifetime, even if it...
I think we'll let Lee have this one first. Apparently, for the over 65s, with the research being carried out in Taiwan, it means that after adjusting for other factors like physical and mental state, men and women who shop daily live longer than those who shunned retail therapy. I like retail therapy, especially if I'm not paying for it. Is this something you find normally? It keeps you going?
What, that going out shopping keeps me going? Well, shopping keeps me going because every day I go out shopping for, I'm not allowed to say that word.
No.
I was going to say alcohol, but I do. And I got something about that keeps me going. Is an interesting aspect to going out shopping on a regular basis, right?
Mm.
Yesterday, right, I bought Andrea, in what I consider to be a very romantic gesture, a Wonder Bra, right?
Wow.
She thought it was very romantic. Well, and you know, she looked me straight in the eyes and she says, right, I'm going to go out tomorrow and buy you some Wonder Pants.
I can believe that. Yeah, well, I'll do my story and leave it to Mark to finish it off. The only trouble with all this shopping, I love shopping. I do, really, genuinely. I like going shopping. Unfortunately, someone's twisted my arm and I've got to go to the finals of Miss Slovakia this week.
Ooh.
The finals.
Don't shop in there, mate, because you'll get yourself in a lot of trouble.
And, of course, that's cost a new dress, hasn't it?
For you.
Dress? Eric. Oh, that's so sweet. I just lost some weight, haven't you? You'll look.
What's Mark, shopaholic or no shopping?
No, I'm not really. No, not anymore. As it happens, I'm going back to London tomorrow for 3 weeks, and I've stocked up with all my groceries by the first time in my life going online shopping, and it's fantastic. I've spent about £120 on all the kind of stuff that I'd have to go schlepping around the supermarket for, and it's all going to be delivered to me in London at 2 o'clock tomorrow. I'm really
excited. Stuff from France?
No, am I allowed to say the name? It's Tesco.
Yeah. Every little helps. With that happy note, we'll see you next week, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Pop Row with me, Eric Wiltshire, and in Paris...
It's Mark. Goodbye.
And in... the zit of the nose of Europe...
It's me, Lee G. Banks.
Well, he has to put the G in every time, doesn't he? Goodbye, everybody!
Bye-bye! Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.